We interrupt this program to bring you a special news.
This is not a test. Every Tuesday, the Journey into Comics Network will bring you The Poor Rapport, your one-stop podcast shop for everything news and topics of personal interest. I am your host, Andrew Poor, and you can hear me every Tuesday.
The following is a Journey into Comics Network production. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics, the podcast about everything nerd, with your hosts, Nate Phillips and Brandon Stone.
We've come a long way from the Prime Minister's exploding cake. Or have we?
Hey everybody, welcome to Journey into Comics 165. I'm one of your hosts, Brando, right here. Today, joining me is, of course, the Podfather, the co-host with the most. Nate, how's it going, buddy?
Dude, how is it going? I'm doing very well myself. It is an early morning here in the Journey into Comics land. We sometimes like to torture ourselves, so we're up fresh this morning, and I'm so stoked to be doing an episode. How are you doing this morning, bud?
I am very lively. I am awake. See, we are on total opposites right now, because whereas we recorded last night, we were starting to get a little late. I was still okay, but by the end of JIC, if we had done it last night, I would have been
zombie mode.
I would have been zombie mode. That is no fun for anybody to listen to on a podcast, man. You got to have energy. You got to have people. You got to just put yourself out there. You got to are you trying to get that little soda can?
Oh,
there we go. Nice.
Yeah.
Is that little bit of Coca-Cola?
Yeah, bro. Coca-Cola in the morning, bright and fresh. Not sponsored by Coke today, folks. Not sponsored today by Coke.
And I am drinking Pepsi.
Ooh.
I enjoyed some Taco Bell breakfast this morning. Not sponsored by those guys either. just saying, man. But we are at 165, Nate, cooking right along.
35 from 200
episodes, dude. Man, we are on the road, and we're also on the road to some other great things we have already planned for going into next year. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, we got stuff going on right now, dude. And I'm just going to lead with this, because this is something that we've been putting off for a couple weeks. People want to know, man. Literally, this is a show that was founded on the premise of, man, let's talk about comic books. And it seems like we don't do that here. We just sort of talk about everything surrounding the comic books.
Well, not today, Brando.
I finally read one. Like 173.
Yes, fuck yes. The Walking Dead.
And we were going to put that off because we want to do a Stranger Things episode. However, for once, I'm not the guy falling behind.
It was me. But I'm almost caught up. And like I was telling you before we started today, I think I created the world's like best worst torture, because we binged from episode 5 to episode 9 last night of Stranger Things. As soon as we got to the opening credits of Stranger Things episode 9, which is the finale of season 2, shut the TV off, went to bed. We will finish after the show tonight.
We were set to do a Stranger Things episode for 165. I think it's going to be 166 now. It's going to be you and me. We're going to be joined by Veronica, co-host of Foodies Watching Movies, and Caitlin, co-host of Butt Stuff, all right here on the Journey to Comics Network. We're doing a kind of a crossover thing. We're all going to sit down. We're all going to have a nice little chat about Stranger Things. Nate, without spoiling, without anything, and I know you're not done yet, gut reaction, what are your first thoughts of this?
To this point, Stranger Things season 2 is about 6 levels creepier, and they have amped up all of the stakes of everything. It's not just Will is lost in the Upside Down, let's find Will. There are great threats going to Hawkins, and I can't wait to really dive into what the finale brings. I mean, the way episode 8 kind of leaves you, I so desperately wanted to just continue and finish it off, because there's a huge reunion at the very end of episode 8 that's just like, oh my fucking God, it's here, finally, we're finally here. So tonight, after our show, we're going to finish this shit, and I am just, whenever we can do the podcast this week, it's going to be awesome, because there's so much to talk about. Like, when you say you're going to do a special about a show, sometimes you can, like, in the back of, at least in my head, sometimes I have self-doubt and I go, oh, man, like, I'm like, what would we talk about? I'm nervous. Like, there's a lot to talk about. What if we don't talk about the right things? What if we don't touch on everything? But as soon as you were like, what's your gut reaction? My brain was like, on next level podcast, talk about the show mode. And I was like,
exactly. And so you got to calm down. Pump the brakes. Next week. Yeah, I mean, we got to wait till next week to talk about that, man. I'm so excited to talk to you about that, though, because just on a gut reaction, I really enjoyed it. I said last year that, or maybe I didn't say this. I said this to somebody. I know I did. This is a show that really they could have not tied it in to tease another season. They could have just left it and left it kind of a, you know, left some, like, there's only a few answers like that you wouldn't have got. But ultimately, I felt like it would have been a really cool one-off.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been a great one-off, but I think the Duffer Brothers did a great job of looking at all their characters and looking at character development and going, how can we put these guys in uncomfortable situations, these girls in uncomfortable situations? How can we pragmatically shift everything so where it's not just, oh, we already know what we're up against. We've already defeated the Upside Down once. Like, this is on a whole different, dare I say, invasion level.
Well, season two of four, they've already said they're going to do four seasons. That's it. No months.
Oh, see, that's great. No, a start and a finish. A start and a finish. Have a clear, concise idea. You don't run it into season 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 15 and then drive people bonkers. Mm-hmm. You give them exactly the story you intend to give them, and you leave them wanting more, I think.
Well, we'll see. What I think here is... I think it's couple-fold. I think it is story. They don't want to keep pushing the story. They just want to come in, tell their story, and get out, you know? And number two, you have the kids. And now you've had these kids since they're like 12, 13. And by the time that, you know, their story is told, they're going to be a little bit older, but they're not going to be tied to this for the rest of their life. They can go off. They can do other things. They can leave acting. They could try other things. Or they could, you know, probably maybe expand and do some films or whatever, you know? They're going to have the time to do so, and they're not going to be like, well, I've got to work on season 10 of Stranger Things now.
They need me to commit to another season. Yeah, and that's another thing that's great. These actors are like, in, you know, they're young teens. And, of course, when we get into the actual Stranger Things episode, and this is, I guess, just a little teaser conversation about this, but the teens that are in Stranger Things are doing a great job of dealing with real-life problems that are happening around them. Finn Wolfhard, I think is his last name, the guy that plays Mike, has came out and said some very important things about how people are treating him and his cast members when they're in public, you know, and how people treat celebrities in general. Then you've also got some really weird stuff where one of the cast members has been called one of the sexiest actors or actresses alive, and that just doesn't...
We can talk about that.
Yeah, that doesn't compute with me, and we'll definitely dive into that later. But I don't know where you want to start today. If we want to go to 173, we kind of have like a loose rundown. We actually have stuff we need to talk about, so I'm going to just bounce it to you. Where do you want to start this journey into comics? Hey.
So Walking Dead 173 kicks off with right at the end of 174 where we see Jesus and Aaron. They're out in the wild. Like they're out in the wild. Of course, the area around Alexandria, Hilltop, the Kingdom, you know, the Sanctuary has been pretty well maintained, and relatively walker free. So you almost get like a sense of like security just even when you're out and about now, because they've done such a good job of keeping the roadways clear and not really having much outside danger like you normally would used to have in The Walking Dead. So. You know, Aaron kind of fell asleep. Jesus is sitting there, and we end the last issue. I almost said last season.
172, yeah.
We end 172 with Beta, with the two knives, making his first day. You know, we've been talking about it for months. Where the hell is Beta? He's been missing for a whole year. Where the hell is this dude? And here he is coming at Jesus, and we have a big scuffle. And, Beta brought some of his walker friends with him. And, man, this was such a, I didn't expect it to end this way, dude. So we have Beta on top of Jesus while Aaron's getting attacked, and Aaron shoots Beta
through the center mass of his body, like into his ribs,
like right to the torso, going through like all like, you know, there's no way this just went through meat and it came out, man. This is going to cause
But at the same time, he's shooting Beta to save Jesus's life. Jesus is shooting a walker to save Aaron. It's like this beautiful poetry. I loved that moment. We get the unmasking of Beta, which is huge. Here's the one thing before we go too much further. You know, we talked about how, you know, Aaron has just killed Beta. So we haven't seen Beta since 162, I think it was. It was the end of the Whisperer War. So it's almost been this whole year we haven't had Beta as a character. We're here in the ending months of the year. And Beta was like, almost like, you know, in the movies when like they kill a bad guy and you're like, oh, that bad guy's down. And then he gets up for a tenth of a second and they shoot him again just to be sure. Like, that's how Beta was, you know, because I thought he was going to come with wrath and fury and there was going to be this outbreak of another war, you know, the Whisper War going again and starting anew with a new leader really helming it in Beta's evil mastermind. And then he's just a dude.
He was a basketball player.
Which we haven't had anything like this in The Walking Dead yet.
No, well, because he was this kind of a semi-celebrity, you know. He was a pretty well-known basketball player. And I believe Aaron said that, you know, man, I saw him play once, you know. He's like, he was in those commercials for something. It's like, crazy, dude. Like, this guy, he was a big-shot basketball player, had all this money, had all this fame, the big house, the cars, the women. And here he is, a nameless, faceless, you know, wearing dead people's skins. And it's like, I kind of liked it because it was like, yeah, as you said, we haven't had anything, their form of big celebrity. I guess the closest you would get would be when they had the senator. I can't remember what his name was, the leader of Alexandria.
That was like back in the, like, I want to say his, what was that senator's name? But he was like in episode or issue 69 and like the early 70s of The Walking, when they were first getting into Alexandria and mm-hmm. finding their place. And
in the show, they made the senator a woman and they kind of reversed the roles there. So I guess, and even then, it's like not every senator is a celebrity. You know,
correct.
Only the ones that are really talking to the media so much, really,
or that do really stupid shit.
Yeah,
which is, there's a lot of that.
A little bit of bathroom toe tapping. Yeah.
Brando, this was a very action-packed issue of The Walking Dead. Not only do we kick off with Beta and the fight with Jesus, which, like I said, I think when we were talking about the wrap up of 172, it seemed to me Beta was almost going to definitely end Jesus there. And I think one of the things I said is, but wait, Jesus is still a ninja. Like, we can't just forget that he is, like, a badass. And, you know, he wasn't caught off guard per se, but he was overwhelmed with power because Beta was a massive fucking dude. He looked like he was, like, 7'1", you know? But they unmasked him, and he was still technically alive. Well, it seemed like he was dead, but then he, like, came back to life, and they were, like, trying to figure out his name, and he just said, no, I have no name, I have no name, I have no name, and then he just dies.
I'm a nobody. I'm
terrible last words from Beta. Like, it was actually comedic levity to me in this issue, because it could have been dark. We've had a lot of dark in the recent issues of The Walking Dead, Death of Andrea. You know, you have all this other stuff happening. This issue is titled The Final Fight, which doesn't really serve as a parallel, but it's interesting because as one fight is, as far as we know it, ending in this book, a whole new fight's breaking out. Before we get to the end part of the book and the importance of that, let's go back to Beta is not technically done being involved in this specific story arc because he has a small pack of whisperers with him. Well, with him is loose term because he's alone at the moment we see him. He's alone at the moment he's dead. But there is a group of whisperers that are awaiting his return, and they're actually new to the group and not necessarily convinced that they want to wear other people's fucking dead skin masks. So it's interesting because there's a son and a father and they're arguing and the father's like, no, just, you have to, like, this is what we're going to do to survive. You don't understand. Like, it's been rough. This guy has an idea. We should trust him. And then the interaction there brings one of the OG Whispers, who I don't think we get his name ever because they don't have names. One of the OG Whispers is like, hey, when you put that fucking mask on, you have no name. So you're either with us or fucking piss off, you know? And he, you know, there's just this non-convinced moment of like, I don't want to wear this dude's mask. I don't want to do this. And like, no more does that happen. And this guy is like getting kind of really aggressive with these new Whisperers. Boom. He's out. And here we go. Jesus and Aaron are at the camp again. And they're saving the day. And they're like, hey, no, it's cool. And then the one thing that was kind of awesome is the Whisperers are like, hey, there was a really big dude with us earlier. And they're like, oh, we took care of him. No big deal. Like, we got it, you know. Where do you think that's going to go, this small pack of, like, remaining Whisperers? It seems like they took out all of the threatening Whisperers and that the new group of people, I don't know if they're going to just be left in limbo. Or are they going to just be left to die? I don't know what the plan is.
No, I think Aaron and Jesus are probably going to bring them back. I definitely see that as, like, a Jesus move, you know. These people, obviously, were not with the Whisperers. They're not the same mindset. You know, they had found the Whisperers had found them, and they pretty much said, this is the way we got to go. And as you said, they weren't really sold by it. They were really scared, you know. And one of the first things that they say is we've got a group of people. And I can't remember if it was the kid. He's like, you don't make us wear like other people's faces, do you? Like, no, nothing like that. So I definitely think that they're going to be taken back. Now, Maggie is obsessing over the marked location on the map of Negan. She is very upset about the fact that Rick has pretty much let Negan go and kind of live on his own and not have to answer anymore for what he did to Glenn. And then for everybody else, for that matter. I feel like she's going to do something.
Well,
she's going to do something, and it's going to lead to potentially dark places.
For her. Here's my thought. I was thinking about this, Brando. Why are they doing this thing with Maggie about how she's obsessing, and then what's the game plan? Is she going to send Dante? Is she going to go herself? Like, where do we go from here? I think it would be super interesting if she confronted Negan, you know, and openly got her frustrations off her chest. She's never done that, per se. Like, really went at him full bore and gave him all she's got as far as a verbal tongue lashing. Which, of course, it could be a lot worse. But I think Negan's going to actually talk her off of a ledge if that does happen, if this possible meeting happens. I know 174 is supposed to be almost a Negan-exclusive episode or issue because we've had a couple issues here where he's not really been super prominent. I think we've actually been two or three issues in a row here where he's not even been featured.
Right. So we actually have one issue left for the year, and then it's the beginning of a new story arc that they announced at New York Comic Con. Called New World Order.
And this is not Journey into Wrestling all of a sudden. We're talking.
This is not Journey into Wrestling. This isn't Negan's New World Order. I think it has to do with, the group that Michonne and Eugene and Siddiq and Magna and...
Yumiko
and the new girl, the princess.
Princess, yeah.
The group that has now found them because they were wandering around. They're like, this is where we're supposed to meet. It's like, they're not here. They're supposed to wait. And then they get caught right at the very end of the issue by some lights and them telling them to put their hands up and guns
heavy
down.
Artillery.
So yeah, I kind of feel like we're going to be seeing something a lot bigger than what Rick and his group are normally used to seeing. I think there's going to be a whole armada. You know, the world keeps getting bigger and bigger for The Walking Dead. So where can we go from here? This is the next step.
Rick's group joining a big group.
Or either that, or it's like, and it always seems to be Rick's group confronted or introduced to a new big group, and it makes the whole scope of the whole story bigger. So,
well, here's my thought, Brando. I want you to talk about this for a second, is that, you know, it's like, what's going to happen? There's this big group. We're going to maybe get some feeding into the group. Do you believe, and this is one thing that has not been heavily discussed, it's so weird to talk about this, but like in the Walking Dead universe, like where Alexandria is, for example, and the communities that they've built there is like it could be, we don't know for sure, but it could be a microscopically small amount of the remaining population on Earth. The people in that community could be so tiny, and they think that these big stories are huge and war and all this bad stuff has happened to them, but they've not seen shit yet. And Stephanie's group, who has been essentially vetting Eugene and company, has decided maybe we should bring these guys on. Maybe they can help tip the scale in whatever conflict they have going on. And maybe this is a much bigger problem where it's like, you know, there are a couple legitimately militarized groups, because those people's guns looked hot and heavy. I mean, those were not like just little pissant pistols that they were whipping at people. These were like full-scale assault rifles, bayonettas attached to, you know, shotguns and whatnot. Like, they were seriously bringing the thunder. And of course, Yumiko and company and Michonne and group, they just probably were like, well, not shit we can do now. So I'm certain we're not going to get resolve from that in 174. 175 will be where the resolve comes.
Beginning of the year, the whole new storyline. Yeah. So that kind of wraps up our Walking Dead talk for this month here. Looking forward to getting back into that. Going to check it out, Negan, on the next episode. Now, Nate, I have some late-breaking news and late-breaking article here that I've happened to find.
Sure.
Just by opening up IGN. Wonder Woman 2, Gal Gadot will not return unless studio buys out producer Brett Ratner.
I read this last night. I was going to add it to our rundown. I'm so glad you brought it up first. This is not shocking news, but it is interesting news by way of this is the world we live in now. The sexual allegations thing, it was like dominoes, Kevin Spacey, and then it was like Louis C.K. and Brett Ratner and actor here.
Now George Takei.
George Takei, he vehemently denied it. He's like, come on, I'm not going to grope some actor that doesn't, or model that doesn't make any damn sense. Although I will say George Takei could totally get in trouble. Well, not really in trouble, I guess he had permission, but he groped Jason Ellis's bear Junkage on the Howard Stern show once, like in like mid-2000s. But anyways, with the sexual allegations, to touch on comics for a second, the comic world has not just been touched by the Brett Ratner thing, and I guess that's a bad word to use, touched by Brett Ratner. Let's not do that.
Oh. Very poor choice of words. It was a very poor choice. I tripped over myself. I was trying to do the Joker thing. No, very poor choice of words.
He lets Rachel go off of the...
Yeah.
I remember that in Dark Knight. But
here we go, though. I'm going to read
the Gal Gadot thing. Another person in the DC universe has been hit with this. I don't know if you saw this, but Andrew Kreisberg, executive VP of all the CW shows, has also had sexual allegations raised against him. He also vehemently denied. I have no reason. I guess it was like there were like 6 or 7 women who said that they have been assaulted or harassed by Kreisberg, and 4 dudes. So will that be true? I don't know, but it's weird because right now I feel like if you get an allegation like this against you, it's pretty much a death sentence for your career at this point. They're not taking any risks, and if you were called out, they're cutting ties immediately.
They are reshooting a movie with Kevin Spacey that launches in the,
like, December 22nd.
In the middle of December.
Yeah.
And yeah, in December 22nd, they're going back and doing reshoots to take him out of the movie this late in the game. It's crazy. None of these allegations are any joking matter. They really aren't.
No.
But to some extent, it's like, you know, if there's any sort of things that said, yeah, he did that, and then it's like, no, you're done. You know, like, what if they aren't true then? And then you've just had this whole thing. We're supposed to be presumed innocent until proven guilty in this country.
Nope. It's the other way.
But when you, when you start looking at allegations of rape or now it's misconduct too. And harassment, it's like it's the other way around, and you have to prove yourself innocent of it. And that's not, I'm not trying to say that like you should not believe the person saying this. I'm not. But what I'm saying is that when you have people who are this, it can go both ways. You have somebody who is this powerful who can abuse their power And obviously that does happen, but then you also have people who seek opportunity
and
too.
Think, I can take advantage of this and say they did a thing because no one can prove me otherwise. It's his word versus my word. So because I'm a victim, which I'm, again, not taking away from anybody who has actually been affected, but I do know what you're saying, how there are people who are opportunists who are looking for a chance to fuck with people and maybe make money or make a name for themselves or, you know, who knows. So I guess we're just going to have to see where
it's
this shakes out.
Because with this, it's Gal Gadot reportedly will not return to star in Wonder Woman 2 if Brett Ratner, who has been accused of sexual misconduct, remains involved with the film franchise. According to Page Six, source from Hollywood claims that Gadot is saying she won't sign for the sequel unless Warner Brothers buys Brett out of his financing deal and gets rid of him. Ratner helped produce the first Wonder Woman movie as a part of a co-financing deal with Warner Brothers, though his production company, Rat Pack Dune Entertainment, which will reap a fair chunk of the profit thanks to the film's success. The aforementioned source told Page Six that Gadot knows Warner Brothers has to side with her on this issue as it develops, because the studio can't have a movie rooted in women's empowerment being part financed by a man accused of sexual misconduct against women. And in the wake of sexual harassment allegations against Ratner from actresses including Natasha Henstridge and Olivia Munn, also, I want to say Ratner was also called out by
Ellen Page. Yeah, and that I wanted to touch on that in a minute too, because that article or the piece that she wrote about what happened to her when she was just a kid and first in the X-Men movies, genuinely terrible fucking thing. Like, it's one of those things
we'll touch on that here in a second. Ahead. To finish, though, Warner Brothers announced it was cutting ties with the producer. Last month, Gadot is said to have backed out of going to dinner during which she was set to present Ratner with an award. Patty Jenkins is on board to direct Wonder Woman 2, set to be released in theaters December 13th, 2019. Now, what this motherfucker did to Ellen Page is wrong. So freaking wrong.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Then you hear stories
it was
about how
awful.
People act on,
he just how to he paraphrase some set. Of what she said. What was that, Brando?
I just was waiting for you to talk.
Oh, sorry. The Skype has cut out on us a little bit for a second there, so I misheard what you said. But what I was saying is the thing Ellen wrote was super long and had really heavy details of some stuff that happened. Essentially, Brett Ratner told another producer or some person on the set who was a female to go and, quote, fuck Ellen Page so she would realize that she's a lesbian. Which was before Ellen had come out. She was not comfortable with herself. She knew she was not a straight woman, and that's okay. She was still uncomfortable in her skin as a 19-year-old fucking kid. So what Brett...
I think she said that she knew, but she didn't know. She hadn't even, you know...
Yeah, it wasn't like
she
had dove in and really got herself figured out in that regard, because it wasn't something she was diving into. Uh-oh.
We're having some Skype issues here today, some connection issues.
Yeah, I just lost you for a second, bro. This is the life we live. I'm hoping no one is streaming services in our households. That will affect the call. But to continue on, man, this whole thing, it has to, like, it's fucked up because as much as we don't want this to happen, the way things are going right now, it has to happen this way. Like, the allegations are going to come out. The people who have actually done wrong are going to get fucking buried, and that's what they deserve. The people who have not done any wrong, hopefully their names are going to be cleared. Everything is going to be good. But at the end of this, and this might take 20 years, dude. In 20 years, we may still be talking about how, fuck, there were 497 sexual allegations since 2017 against all these actors and actresses and all these other executives and whatnot. Weeding all those people the fuck out of Hollywood is going to change this world for the better, because you're giving all the rich people this insane power and they're abusing that power, and it's just been a culture within Hollywood to do that. I have money.
And
go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say that, like, and while I was saying the whole thing about, you know, innocent until proven guilty, you know, that definitely goes for, you know, for a court of law. when you have these things, and I totally agree that, you know, I'm not in Hollywood. I've never been in Hollywood, so I don't know what the lifestyle is and how this place, like, a lot of this stuff is, like, when you started hearing stuff about Spacey and about Cosby, you know, these are all stuff that people have been talking about for years.
No one's been listening.
But, well, I mean, talking about it, but it's like you hear stories. You're like, man, is that true? It's almost like bullshit, scuttlebutt, you know, rumors. And it's like, dude, does he really, you know, has he really done that? It's like, dude, that's what I heard, man. And so I'm a big believer of innocent until proven guilty. But when you start having a whole society of, like, a whole lifestyle in Hollywood that is devoted around the mistreatment of people and abusing your power, I agree with you. We need to, like, get this shit out of here. But I do worry, as with anything, that there might be opportunists out there trying to take advantage of other people, and innocent people might get caught up in this. So I really hope that we can, instead of just using ourselves as, like ourselves be the judges and, you know, jury and executioner and within these scumbags, you know, let's take this another step and do some investigative work and really find out, like, you know, the truth here, because I don't want anybody who didn't do anything
to go down in a blaze of glory.
To have to suffer because of the bullshit, because of the assholes in Hollywood that really feel like they want to empower or be empowered by, you know, whether or not, like, it's mistreating people or being a complete fucking, nutsack like Brett Ratner. I mean, when I was, like, disgusted when I read that, and, like, you can't do that to people. Who acts like that towards people?
No, you can't. And the thing too, you know, in all of this.
Oh shit!
Drop my water. Okay, so the thing in all of this is the one that kind of, like, gets me is if Andrew Kreisberg, he's the one I want to talk about for a second. If he is truly guilty of what he's been accused of, I will be shocked. And I say that because if you look at the cast of Arrow, if you look at the cast of The Flash, if you look at the cast of Legends of Tomorrow or Supergirl, they are all literally monsters in the social justice venture of making sure everyone gets a fair shake. You've got people who are, I mean, fucking Melissa Benoist from Supergirl is a legitimate feminist voice who openly goes and protests and marches and does all this stuff. So if Andrew Kreisberg has any ties to her and she knew anything at all about it, we would already know, I think. And I think that in this culture, it would be almost impossible to hide, because it seems like, and this is maybe something that's not been talked about in Hollywood with the Ellen Page thing, they were just openly fucking talking about that, like, on set. What the fuck? So to me, if Kreisberg was legit guilty, I feel like somebody from Arrow or Flash or Legends or Supergirl or whatever would have come out a long time ago and been like, no, not standing for that. But you look at your Stephen Amells and your Grant Gustins and all these characters, and them as people want the world to be a better place. So if he is a part of that, it could ultimately fuck the whole CW thing just to its core. I mean, Kreisberg is such an integral part of that story. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes, Brando. But let's shift gears here. We'll keep it kind of similar because he's not going to be affiliated with Fox. He's probably not going to be affiliated with anything in the world. Brett Ratner's probably going to be done if his allegations are true. But what's not going to be done is something I've been begging the world to give us for so long, Brando. It's possibly going to happen. They've started talking about it. It's early enough where I think by 2018 we're going to have our answer. I will make the stupid, I don't know what you want to call this, guess or something. I'm going to predict. That's the word I'm looking for. I'm going to predict what's going to happen. I want to say by the time Avengers Infinity War 1 comes out, they will announce officially that 20th Century Fox has been bought out by Disney. And before the next Avengers movie, they've already, just like Spider-Man, got it in place, and we will get the debut of the Fantastic Four and a version of the X-Men in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because that shit is happening.
So I'm sitting here looking at a rundown, and Messenger works in such a way that I was like scrolling. I'm like, okay, we're going to talk about this. And then I just thumbs down the whole thing. I'm like, no, we're not talking about it. All right. So the whole thing with, you were talking about Disney buying Fox.
Yeah.
And, I've heard that the deal is completely off the table right now. Talks have officially stopped. However, because Disney was looking at buying the whole film division as a complete. Like, the only things that they wouldn't buy would be news and sports. Well,
the reason is just beyond Marvel, though. If they buy 20th Century Fox, do you know what Disney officially also has the rights to?
It'd be A New Hope.
A New Hope. And that's one of the reasons we've never got a original re-release of the first three films. Because, technically speaking, Disney and Star Wars and Lucasfilms don't own the rights to A New Hope. So they can't do that. They can do the... That's why... Okay. I think we were talking about this somewhere here, or we were... I don't remember what we were doing, what episode it was. We're talking about how musicians will go and they'll remaster their works and add a little bit to make it their own. And that's kind of what I think George might have done when he was doing the extended editions and the altering special editions, thank you, from the 90s. Is like, well, I don't have ownership to A New Hope. Here's an excuse to do it. Might as well just do all three movies, make people less wondering why we're doing that. Now I have some rights to A New Hope. It's not the original. So... if that happens, that's huge. Then if the thing with Marvel happens, that's huge. I mean, there are a lot of opportunities right now. If this happens, Deadpool will be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe if this sell happens.
All right. So from what I understand, that the overall arcing acquisition of Disney and Fox is now, talks have been completely stopped. However, what is still on the possibly on the table, they haven't started it yet, is the acquisition of assets. And of IP. So therefore you could get your A New Hope, things that Marvel or Disney has interest in for their other things, like the X-Men, the Deadpool stuff, the Marvel stuff. And it's interesting because I kind of thought that this would come from Sony before it would come from come from Fox.
Well, but Fox is I think they're in more troubled waters than they're willing to admit, maybe. And I just feel like, you know, with Disney and Sony, it's very similar. There were talks. The talks went away. They're all off the table. Nothing's happening. Boom, announcement that Spider-Man's coming back home. Like, it was literally that quick. It was like within a month and a half, it was like there were talks, there's no talks, and it's done. So could the no talks thing be to quell rumors so they can actually get work done, decide between the two parties what's going to be best, if it's going to be a cooperative deal like Sony has where they're going to use all the IP and then it's going to be published or released by 20th Century, or are they just going to outright buy that part of the company and go ahead and do your news and shit, Fox News. We'll have this cool part. Maybe they won't keep it 20th Century Fox. Maybe they will. I don't know how Disney's going to want to choose to do that. But the opportunity to literally at that point, you would have one superhero who's not fully owned by Marvel, which would be Spidey, technically speaking. It changes everything yet again. And it's like, oh, look, phase 3 is about to be done. And what's going to happen in phase 4 of Marvel? Oh, look, now all of a sudden, all these new characters that we couldn't touch are able to be touched, that are old characters that they can do true love letters to. I mean, imagine a Marvel-envisioned Fantastic Four or X-Men. And you know Marvel, they'll be dope as hell, and they have high praise on how Ryan Reynolds did. They're not going to recast Ryan Reynolds out of Deadpool. That is going to be one thing I guarantee you will not happen. Ryan Reynolds will be Deadpool until he doesn't want to be Deadpool anymore. Just because he is Wade Wilson. I mean, it's like he's the perfect, he is Deadpool, I guess, is the way I'm trying to say that. But I don't know, man. This is we're in that weird world of all this news of churning and change. What do you think about the possibility of this sale? Is there anything that sparks your interest if this does happen?
Pretty much everything that's already been said. I don't know what else they could really want. I know 20th Century Fox has their hands in a lot of different things, but I wouldn't be able to tell you exactly what they all were, and like until you put them out in front of me. I know that like it almost seems like Disney's setting up a big an even bigger monopoly than what they already have.
Well, danger. Did you hear about? Is it AT&T or Time Warner? Somebody trying to buy something. They want to buy CNN, but they want to buy. AT&T wants to buy Time Warner, but they have to sell CNN in order to do CNN. So.
Yeah.
So I wonder if
that whole thing is another political. I mean that's a talk for the poor report.
Yeah, we'll save that. We don't.
That is that is a whole big political talk there. Where I'm not really too sure where the lines are crossing, but you know, we're gonna go switch gears here. And we are going to talk about you. Okay, so there was a big switch over on the comic book world here. And of course, Brian Michael Bendis. So you want to talk about him switching sides.
Yeah.
And of course, he was a longtime... Was he a writer?
He was a cornerstone of the modern Marvel movement for the past 15 years. Brian Michael Bendis has done countless stories and helped edit and helped, you know, create and was a voice of reason and someone that a lot of people in Marvel looked up to. And it's one of those things. Brian Michael Bendis, when he got his first break, it was with Marvel. He was a loyalist. He did a lot of amazing things. I mean, Brian Michael Bendis's name is on some of the best modern era Marvel stories. If you look at his tenure in Marvel and just go down the line, it's super impressive. But it's awesome that in this day and age, his career was not stifled and he was not like, well, I have to stay loyal to Marvel, that's it. He did what I think I would do, and he was given an opportunity. He's made a name for himself. So DC says, hey, we want to offer you a contract for you to come write for us. I love this move. I don't know what it's going to bring, but I feel like DC's comic world is about to get like amped up to the next level. Geoff Johns and Brian Michael Bendis collaborating together to make stories. Holy shit. It's going to be insane.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there were reactions. You know, Scott Snyder saying, getting to work alongside Brian Bendis is... yet another comic dream realized this year. Brian, you're going to slay. Cannot wait. So, I mean, it is big news when you have somebody who is a, I mean, and that's like in the movie realm, that, you know, that's as big as brain fart. What the heck, a dude coming over to help out with Justice League.
Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon, wow, yeah, early morning brain fart. Well, Joss Whedon, of course, you know, pretty much, in like on the film, helped get the Avengers, you know that team up movie, and then of course, like when they helped get all that stuff off the ground and get the like their style established, and now he's coming over, and he had to help finish up Justice League, and of course, he's doing Batgirl at some point. But Nate, I want to talk about Justice League 2 before we get off here today.
Sure. One thing I want to add real quick, last thing to the Bendis thing here, and then we can move on. He created two very important characters in the Marvel world, one of which is a gigantic fan favorite, one of which has actually had their own Netflix series already. So that's how important Brian Michael Bendis was to Marvel. He created Miles Morales. He wrote Ultimate Spider-Man for the longest. He also created Jessica Jones, which I did not know until I just read. So this is a huge change. I'm excited to see where that goes in the future. Of course, here in a week or so, I think we've got Doomsday Clock coming up.
We have Punisher series.
DC Punisher series on Netflix.
We have Justice League movie.
Holy shit.
We're just coming off of Thor, Ragnarok. So First of all, before we get to Justice League, the new Punisher series is coming out this Friday as you're hearing this. And so not the next episode, but an episode after that, we should have something to say about it. We're going to watch some of that, if not all of it. It's like a 13-episode series or, like season. Hopefully she'll be able to dive through that pretty quickly. Now, originally, I found this out about that, buddy. You know the New York Comic Con
mm-hmm.
cancellation? They were going to come out and make a big news deal about it. Did you hear about
no.
this? No. So I watched an interview with Jim Norton and Sim Roberts over on Sirius, and they interviewed Jon Bernthal. And they asked, like, how did he feel about, the cancellation of the Comic-Con thing? And he said, that was my idea. I didn't want to do it. He goes, it wasn't right. He goes, we were going to do this big story where I came out and said, so check it out. We're doing this new Punisher thing, and it's available right now.
Holy shit.
They were going to do the release date as of that day. You can get it on Netflix right now. Go get it.
Holy shit.
And they were going to make this big news thing about it. And he goes, and it didn't feel right. He goes, I mean, yeah, you could talk about the content and how it's more violent and then the whole God thing. And he goes, but really, he goes, we didn't want to try to like take away from the big news story of that. Or, with all the tragedy of that going on, us making a big noise over here saying like big media event, this new ultra violent TV show coming out right now. And then, of course, he said, he goes, so we decided to wait and just bide our time and then we'll do it. And then about a week before they're going to launch the series, they had another tragedy down in Texas with the shooting gun and like in the church. He goes, so if it's not one thing, it's another. I've heard some pretty good things about the series. John's pretty excited about it.
He was phenomenal as Frank Castle. It's going to be great. I cannot at all wait. It's weird. I feel like I abandoned the Defenders as soon as I knew that Netflix and Disney are kind of slowly severing ties because the Disney streaming service.
All right. So as far as that goes, as far as the Disney and Netflix deal, no new shows will be created for Netflix. The shows that are currently going will still be in production for as long as they go.
Oh, wow. That's actually interesting.
That is what I've understand. They're not just going to move stuff over. But any new Marvel television stuff is going to go to the Disney streaming app. Because I guess Marvel and Netflix made this deal themselves. And then Disney up here, now they get that. Now, I'm pretty sure they can override and they can say no more, no more, no more. But I'm pretty sure that they see that this stuff is successful, and this stuff is just going to be like, hey, that Marvel stuff on Netflix, come over to Disney, because their plan is to make the Disney streaming app cheaper than Netflix, so that way you can have it as an additive service. So you pay for your Netflix, he goes, and then you got your Disney app, and so I can see that being like $5 a month instead of like the 10 or 13 that Netflix is now. So they want that to be, supplementary. But, okay, dude, I got off track on a tangent.
Sure. That's Journey into Comics for you.
The Justice League has been premiered to the press. They can't print anything yet, but they were allowed to share their thoughts on Twitter. Have you read any of these?
Some of them. From what I'm gathering, and I'm sure you probably have some pulled up. You'll read more elaborately.
I don't have any pulled up. I just have it for
Oh, memory. Okay. From what I remember from reading it, one of them essentially said that the movie is really sloppy. It's kind of a mess. The character development is great. The characters are really well done. The story maybe suffers. I don't know if you know this, but Warner Brothers told DC Justice League, you have to keep it under 2 hours, no matter what. And I feel like they shot a fucking 4-hour movie and cut 2 hours from the way these reviews are saying that there's some stuff that's not it's the BVS thing all over again. Important stuff relegated to one line that you might miss in the moment because stuff has been cut. But the thing that's most important, in my opinion, from this is that the characters themselves are established. If the story's not perfect, that's fine. Let the characters be, oh my God, I loved seeing that team together.
Well, and we've said before, or at least I've said it, that the first Avengers movie, the story is fucking thin.
Yes.
it's not a very good story. The only interesting thing is for me about the first Avengers is that you had Loki, who is an interesting character.
Yep.
And but he's not a big, this big bad. So, and I've heard Steppenwolf is kind of like a lackluster character, and I've heard that that Cyborg is as well. But your Aquaman and your Flash really steal the show here, and which is what I was expecting. As long as Ben can still, you know, be the Batman that he was, and then you got Wonder Woman doing her thing, and of course Return of Superman. I think I'm going to be pretty happy with this because it's already coming out with a better reaction to, than BVS.
Absolutely.
Did. You know, so if they can just make it better than that, I think it's going to be a good time at the theater. And who knows, maybe I might even, you know, when you pull a Westicles and maybe like it as much as he liked BVS.
I mean, he called that movie like a 5-star movie.
Dude, he was like 9, 10 out of 10. It was like, he really loved
it. He
was
down on his knees praising to all that is Batman v Superman. You thought I was going somewhere else, you dirty ass. But no. Justice League is going to be exciting. We've actually got some cool stuff planned. That's going to be probably a part of our 170 or 167 episode of JIC, unless we do like a Patreon exclusive to review it only on Patreon. I don't know how we're going to do that. I guess it's just going to depend on how that goes, because Brando, this weekend, fucking 6 days from this week, from right now, I'll be in your neck of the woods with the rest of the crew, and you'll be with the crew, and we're going to gather and go watch Justice League, and there's no podcasting.
None. Zero.
Zilcherino.
Yeah, dude, we're going to hang out and have a good time. You know, normally when we get together, we like to podcast our butts off, but we need to actually just spend time as people and as friends and not as co-hosts.
Yeah, get to hang out and actually enjoy each other's company. This is what we call, Brando, I feel like the Justice League event that we're putting together to have all of us together. First of all, it's cool because, again, it's like the Justice League. We're all meeting up together to do this thing. But then also, it's like great team building. I feel like when we had the First Supper and that whole thing, the network kind of grew together more. And I want to just keep fostering that bigger and bigger and bigger. Not necessarily to say more and more people, but I just want the inner sanctum of the network to be so close knit to each other. And I think we're we're doing a great job of developing that. Because listen, it's hard. Half of you guys are in one place, the rest of the crew is in another place. And it's nice when we can all gather and spend some time and just dork out. The last time I think we just got to hang out was like, what, Memorial Day weekend?
Yeah.
Just fucking hang out was half then, a year ago.
Yeah, I know.
That's ridiculous. Like, when you hear it. At the same time, though, it's so weird because it's not, to say this, it's not like our friendship is only hinged on podcasting, but it's not like I don't get to hang out with you. It's just in a different context than what we typically have been able to do in our lives.
Well, we always try to take advantage of time together like that because it's always better to do a show in person. You get a better flow. You get a better
chemistry.
I feel like the last chemistry, yeah, because I feel like the last episode that we did in person, that was the episode that we were at Rob and Gretchen's in the makeshift studio, like upstairs. And I feel like that was one of the better like flowed episodes that we'd had. I feel like we really gelled. And so, I mean, since Memorial Day, you came down, you did a concert, and then we came down and we did one, 150. And Metalcast, and then you came back down and we did 172.
Not 172.
Well, 150.
151.
Wow, we're not even there yet.
172 does have interesting implications for us that we'll talk about later, but
it was 151.
Yeah, 151 we were together for. We were together for Attack of the Yawns, which was 156, because you were up for one of our shows.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then I was down for the podcast-a-rama in October, where we did 161, I think.
Yeah, it was 161 and Game Addicts and Butt Stuff and Podcastrophy and Poor Report
and Foodies.
And Foodies watching movies.
Ran the gamut that day.
Yeah, we did all those shows on one day. It's crazy.
And then we just did the parking lot episode, 163.
Yeah, you're right.
So
the parking lot episode. That's going to be one to look back
of
on.
Of course, dude.
And laugh about.
You and I have got the love of podcasting so deep within our veins that we're like, fuck it. We'll podcast in a fucking cold ass car that's not turned on. We don't give a shit. Like, it's fine. We did great. I thought it was awesome. But,
hot and steamy handprints.
Did you see, real quick before we get down here, did you see the thing about Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger?
I didn't. I started reading it a little bit, and it's like he challenged Jean-Claude Van Damme years ago.
Okay, so apparently Jean-Claude Van Damme, Jason David Frank tried to meet him because it was like one of those heroes things. Like, oh my God, Jean-Claude Van Damme's my hero. Jason David Frank was fresh off Power Rangers, kind of got the cold shoulder. It created some heat between them. They've kind of had this feud for several years. They were going to a Comic-Con, and Jean-Claude Van Damme's group actually reached out to Jason David Frank's group and said, hey, can we share your green room? Can we just have the same space and just hang out together? And Jason was like, oh my gosh, we're going to finally bury this hatchet. I feel so much better. Of course, yes, let's do this. Let's move on with our fucking lives. Not what Jean-Claude Van Damme had in mind. He got in Jason David Frank's face, started threatening him. He did not expect what actually happened, which was in a non-violent but mostly technical way, Jason David Frank threw him in the clinch and pushed him up against the wall and was not bullshitting with him. If you want to fight, we'll fight right now. I don't care. It's stupid because we're supposed to be adults and grow past this. But, you know, so it's weird because Jason David Frank kind of believes the whole thing was set up, that they were trying to get the jump on him and maybe start drama. And then it kind of backfired and Jean-Claude Van Damme really, really looks weak as fuck in this whole thing because he literally got pinned up against the wall and did nothing. With literally, there are 25 people filming in the room with cameras, the whole thing. None of those tapes have been released. I think there's one video on the internet right now. But lots and lots of people saw what happened, and Jean-Claude Van Damme didn't fuck Jason David Frank up or anything, or throw him down or kick him in the fucking head until he died or some shit. None of that happened. He was, and Jean-Claude Van Damme's getting up there. What are you thinking, dude? Why are you trying to start drama with somebody who's 15 years younger than you? It just doesn't make any sense.
Interesting. Very interesting. Not the biggest Jean-Claude fan.
Same.
He has a couple movies that were really good.
Bloodsport.
Bloodsport, Kickboxer. First Universal Soldier was good. Then they did too many of them, and then they had the last one that had... Well, no, they actually done another one since then, but...
Didn't they... Wasn't he in Expendables 2? Or 3?
I don't remember which... He was in one of them.
Yeah.
The fourth Universal Soldier had Goldberg in it.
Goldberg.
He had a movie called Sudden Death.
I remember that movie.
It was set in a hockey arena during during Stanley Cup or something. And the main villain was Powers Booth or something like that.
Okay. I remember that dude.
And then he's a firefighter, and then they have bombs all around the building. He's got to disarm them.
I don't think I saw it's Sudden
pretty
Death.
Decent action movie. Pretty decent action movie.
Okay. I'm down. I like it. Brando, my dude. Is there anything else we should talk about before we dip up out of here on this week's episode of Journey into Comics?
Dude, I got nothing. All the cool stuff we're going to be waiting until we got to wait for it to come out. And of course, next week we plan on talking about Stranger Things season 2 or Stranger Things 2, since it's not really a season 2. It's like a sequel 2.
Yeah.
I don't know. They all kind of confused me with that. But of course, we have so many things, Punisher, Justice League, Doomsday Clock. Star Wars was right around the corner. Oh, hey, really quick. So they announced the new Star Wars trilogy. Rian Johnson, director of The Last Jedi, is going to make a whole new trilogy, not having to do anything about jack shit.
With the Skywalkers.
About what's going on here.
Yeah.
And nothing over here. It's going to be all over there. I'm hoping, I'm crossing fingers. Please, 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 please let the rumors or theories, predictions be true. let this be a Knights of the Old Republic trilogy, please, please.
You know, Rian Johnson has a really good track record doing trilogies based on properties that need revitalizing. He just did all the Planet of the Apes movies, all three, I do believe. Dawn, Rise, and War of Planet of the Apes, I think, is all Rian Johnson. So, yes, give him the Old Republic. I think it would be incredible. Genuinely, genuinely incredible to go to that world. Of course, we know we're not going to go to, like, Shadows of the Empire because all that stuff has been kind of wiped away from history. But I'm looking forward to the possibilities of what Rian Johnson can bring. I feel like The Last Jedi is going to be nothing but pure insanity in the best way. And we're going to be like, huh? Why don't we have his trilogy right now? Why can't we watch it right now?
It's funny because Rian Johnson said, yep, it's true. Now I really hope you guys liked The Last Jedi. I mean, I was hoping that you guys liked it before, but now I really hope you liked The Last Jedi. He signed on to do three more of these movies.
Yeah, if everybody hates it, we're in trouble, you know? Abort. Shit. All right. Well, Brando, let's get down to the plugs here today. As always, folks, you can check us out on all the different podcasting platforms, whether it's Podbean, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music, iTunes, Overcast, Downcast, Podchaser. There's like fucking 50 million. I can't keep track. Podcast Addict for some of you, which we love that we get some of you guys. By the way, Brando, our network has been heard in so many different countries. We get so many awesome listens across the pond. I just want to, in general, shout out the globe and say, hey, Globies. We appreciate that you're listening. We appreciate that China and Great Britain and Germany and Romania and the Russian Federation and Australia and New Zealand and Latvia. There's a fucking so many places that have heard Journey into Comics Network. I'm so happy. It makes me so happy.
Shout out to Sudan.
Yeah, Sudan, because how you want me to?
How'd you feel?
I totally just kicked my Coca-Cola over, but it was empty enough that it didn't quite spill and I could just pick it up and it was fine. Folks, as always, check us out on all the different social media sites for the Journey into Comics Network. You can get us on Facebook at Journey into Comics, on Twitter at JIC Network. You can get us on Instagram at Journey into Comics. As always, you can give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We do appreciate that. I think we're like 30 reviews on iTunes, which is pretty cool. We were at 3 a couple months ago, so we really appreciate that. I feel like there's something else I'm missing. Oh, yeah, obviously, if you want extra content or exclusive access or early access to all things Journey into Comics Network, please go to patreon.com/journeyintocomics, where you get, for $1, early access to every episode. As soon as we have it edited, it's in your hands. You don't have to wait till release day. You can get your grubby little mitts on whatever show you really, really, really get into, whether it's Brews with Dudes, Podcastrophy, The Poor Report, Butt Stuff. We got a new show coming down the pipe. We got Foodies Watching Movies, Game Addicts Podcast, Journey into Wrestling, The Voice of Survival Podcast, this show right here, and so much more going on. Always check out the best of shows on Sunday. If that's going to do it for this episode of Journey into Comics, this has been episode 165. Brando, thank you so much for joining me today.
You got it, buddy. Happy to be here.
Hell yeah, man. Well, for Journey into Comics, I'm Nate.
I'm Brando.
And we will see you motherfuckers later.
Fill your brains with shit.